Welcome to the Southern Ground Podcast, provided by Alabama Extension through Auburn University. Extension educators Shane Harris and Dr. Chip East discuss seasonal lawn and garden topics, address common questions, and provide the practical solutions you want to know. Let's dig into our Southern Ground.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Southern Ground. I'm Shane Harris with the Alabama Cooperative Extension System, and I'm joining with me is Dr. Chip East, our fellow horticulturist and partner in this Southern Ground podcast. Hello, guys.
Good morning. I'm all excited today, Shane, because we got Dr. Paulo Crimenes with us today to talk about, well, ugly tomatoes, but insects on tomatoes. Paulo is an entomologist.
We're continuing our conversation, Paulo, about ugly tomatoes in the home garden, in the fields with the farmers. A lot of times you don't see the bugs immediately. Sometimes you do find the bugs on there. But as we talk about these ugly tomatoes and the disappointing results that a gardener may have, we want to talk about a little bit about what the common insects, pests are out there, but also what we can do to try to prevent these problems. Because unfortunately, tomatoes do have lots of issues, as we've discussed in this podcast. And today we want to get more in depth and talk about all the insect problems.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm really excited to talk about tomatoes and the insects and mites that might affect it. And it's a very interesting topic because tomatoes are kind of a central crop on the vegetables. They can harbor any type of pests that we find in over 35 types of crops we grow here in Alabama, or specialty crops we grow here in Alabama.
Paulo is an entomologist. He works with vegetables and fruit. Paulo, is that the two crops mainly you work with, is fruit and vegetable here at Auburn University? And whenever us extension agents a lot of times have problems, something we don't know, Paulo's my first person to call when I have an insect issue. So I really appreciate what you do for us so we can better help people out in Alabama, Paulo.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate all the feedback. It's always good to collaborate with the regional agents.
This list, Chip, that we've got here over the years from tomato workshops, working with our local specialists, we've identified about 30 different issues from abiotic to insect pest, as well as plant disease and other problems. And so we want to go through maybe a 10 or so insects, not very specific on necessarily each one, but we've got a huge list here, Chip, of all the common insects we can find on the farm or in the home garden.
I don't even know where to start with. If we'd start what you get early in the year, or what we would want to do, I don't know, maybe the worst pest problems, if we want to start with that, where do we want to go?
Well, let's talk about the type of insects out there. Maybe that'll help us, because we have what we call sucking type insects, which would include the aphids and the thrips and the plant bugs and the white flies and even the spider mites. And then the most common what people see is the physical damage. Well, that's the ones that has the chewing mouth parts of all the different caterpillars that we have out there that eat the leaves and potentially even destroy some of the fruit. So we can go that route, guys, if you'd like. You see the damage of the chewing mouth parts, but you don't necessarily see the damage of the sucking type mouth parts till maybe even up to harvest.
Paulo, I grew some tomatoes this year. I grow them every year, and we went and planted them for my aunt and uncle in their garden. And the next day, this was finished up late one evening planting. We were going to put the little rings around them to help be a barrier for the cutworm. And before that one night was over, before we could do it the next day, we had cutworms, Paulo. And it got on our peppers, but still they get tomatoes as well. And so what are things we could do for cutworms? What is a cutworm and what damage do they do?
So cutworms are mostly soil pest insects. And there's a particular interesting characteristic of cutworms is that they are active during the nighttime. So it is important to protect the bases of the plants so that they don't chew on them. So you can use some strategies, like you can put some barriers around the plant bases so the caterpillars will not have access to it. And if you use a spray, you can use neem oil or a BT insecticide like Zantari or Dipel. But it is very important to use it after the sunset because that's when the caterpillars will be more active.
And you'll see the damage after the next morning. So you're not going to see the caterpillar on the leaf or on the stem. You're going to see the damage, and that's where the pepper or the tomato or the other plants that they like to eat, it's just been cut down.
One of my friends years ago, he asked me about grafting tomatoes, Paulo, and did I know anything about grafting tomatoes? And I said, yes, sir, and I grafted him a few tomatoes. He was interested in getting some grafted tomatoes, so I did that. He planted them in his garden, and he called me a few days later. He says, something's killing your tomatoes. I said, well, what's killing the tomatoes? So I go over there and look, and these were big. It's not just a little seedling. It was a bigger plant. The cutworm crawled up the stem and around and back down. That's the first time I ever saw that it actually went up the stem. And believe it or not, why, I don't know, but it was just on those grafted tomatoes. He had other tomatoes out there, and it would skip one of that come up from a seed, but it would get that one that was grafted. Have no idea why.
They can sense what's prize and what you want to keep. They always go after the good stuff. They never go out the ugly things.
Yeah. That's right. Some varieties of tomato might be more susceptible to cutworms or some specific pests as well. So that might have been the case. But this is a very interesting behavior for sure.
The caterpillars definitely get all the attention because you've got caterpillars eating the leaf, and one of those is the hornworms. We see the tobacco and the tomato hornworm here in the deep south, and those caterpillars are extremely large. If left alone, they continue to grow. They get very big. They can be a little bit somewhat aggressive or trying to intimidate. Gee, if you try to pick them off, that you see the frass on the leaves and on the ground. But most common is you just go out there and there's leaves missing where they have been eaten by these caterpillars.
I got a question for Paulo. Tell us the difference between a fruit worm and a army worm.
So the fruit worm is Helicoverpa paseia. That's the same species that we on the corn, we call it corn earworm. That's basically the same insect. It just changes the name. So that is one very important pest that will absolutely eat all the fruits that you have, the leaves, and it also causes a lot of frass. And it is very important to keep monitoring it even after very close to corn plantations, sweet corn or row crop corn, especially after harvest. That those moths will swarm up and try to find the nearest spot, and they will go to the tomatoes and absolutely destroy the fruits. They have some specific morphological characteristics, but the heavy feeding on the fruit is one of the first signs of tomato fruit worm presence.
Is there a position on the fruit itself, on the tomato? Do they go on the top? Do they go on the side, on the bottom? Because I know from talking with specialists over the years, sometimes you can distinct what species of caterpillar it is based on their feeding damage.
Yeah, that's right. So the earworms, they basically, the tomato fruit worms, they basically lay single eggs, you know, like large eggs, and usually it's closer to the fruit and on the calyx of the fruit in formation. So when the caterpillar eclodes, it will be already on that fruiting part, which will have necessary nutrition to grow up.
And I always say the fruit worm goes inside the fruit to eat as well, and the army worms can eat a lot of times on the outside of the fruit. They eat the leaves a lot of times and on the outside of the fruit, where the fruit worm goes inside the fruit.
That is correct. Yes, the army worms are more leaf feeders. And they have a large diversity. There are different types of army worms. Most of them are generalists. They would be on the tomatoes. It is important when we control them that we have a good spray coverage on the plants so we can reach out all the plant canopy and also the fruits in formation.
Then the hornworms get all the attention, maybe because of their size or maybe because they cause a lot more damage. Is there a big distinction between the tobacco hornworm and the tomato hornworm here in Alabama?
Actually, I'm not entirely sure if there is more presence of the tomato hornworm or the tobacco hornworm here. To be honest, I haven't seen much of the hornworms in the field so far in my experience here in Auburn. I know that they are distinguishable between the morphological characteristics. Tobacco hornworms, they have 7 stripes on the side. I might be wrong here. The other one, the tomato fruit worm, it has 8, but or is it vice versa? I'm not.
Everybody knows it because of the horn on the rear end of that caterpillar, and they can get very large. I know probably up to about, I've seen up to 3 inches. I've seen some up to 4 or 5 inches on other ornamentals. They're quite impressive. They can be a little intimidating, especially if you're trying to pick them off or control them. But they can definitely cause a lot of damage pretty quick overnight in a couple of days.
Yes. So the thing about hornworms, they do have the characteristic horn on the end of their bodies, and they grow up massive. And for any caterpillar species, their goal of life is just eat their way through growing into adulthood. So to guarantee that they will be prolific moths, they need to eat as much as they can. And so the larger the caterpillar you have, the more food they will consume. And that's very bad for the tomato grower because they can be extremely voracious.
Sometimes you're looking right at one, Paulo. As big and ugly as they are, I can't see them. But I see that damage, and I have to keep looking and looking and looking. And you know it's there, and you'll finally get it. I've heard, or when I'm out there looking, I hear a clicking sound sometimes. And I think, I know that hornworm is there. Is it chewing? Is that making the clicking sound?
That's right. Yeah, that's chewing. They make a large sound because they make a high sound, because a loud sound, because they eat a lot. They have those mandibles that will be chewing on the plants, and that is absolutely right. It's a little bit complicated because they can grow large, but they are also very extremely good at camouflaging into that canopy. They have all those marks that make them more indistinguishable in the middle of all the foliage, which is very interesting. So some visual cues, like the lot of frass that they produce, can be an indication. They can also produce some types of smell depending on the infestation. You can smell it in the air because of all the frass.
And let's define frass. Frass is the poop. That's the caterpillar droppings that we see on the leaves or on the ground. So we'll make sure our listeners understand what that is. You're seeing the droppings of that feeding damage first.
That is correct, yes.
The other thing, Chip, is what's interesting is you'll find the damage. They've eaten the leaves and sometimes even the part of the stem all the way up, and they move to another portion of the plant, and they really hide. So you really have to look up and down or possibly even another plant. Is it true that the moth typically only lays 1 egg per plant? Because you typically only find 1 hornworm per tomato plant, or sometimes only 1 in a row of tomatoes.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, usually they try to guarantee that they will have sufficient food on that area. So they concentrate these efforts on laying just a few eggs on that.
And I'll ask, because a lot of people ask me that question, so if I pick it off, am I going to be stung by this horn that's on the end of the thing?
I don't think so. I don't think that's enough to sting you.
Right. They are harmless, but it does look mean.
They will strike. I've had a big one on a gardenia of all places one time, and that caterpillar was at least 5 inches long. It was fully mature. It raised back like a cobra and wanted to strike, and it did try to strike and bite at me. So the behavior is very intimidating than to reach out there and pick it off and to get rid of it. So you got to be careful and just understand that they're more menacing than they are harmful.
Paulo, sometimes people ask about these white egg sacs on the caterpillar. What is that, and what do we do about it?
Well, those egg sacs that you see on the hornworms are parasitoids. They are external parasitoids. So it's not the usual parasitoids we found on other insects like aphids that grow bloat and you see the aphid mummies. That's a parasitoid growing inside. Those small white egg sacs on top of the caterpillar are flies that will lay their eggs on top, and then the small larvae will hatch and start eating that caterpillar from that part. So in bottom line, they are basically natural enemies. They are doing their biological role on controlling those hornworms. So they're the good guys. So if you see that, that's a good sign of biological activity in your tomatoes.
And I've seen them with just a few, two or three egg sacs, and I've seen them with a lot more. So if you see that, we just leave that alone. It paralyzes the hornworm, so it's not eating anymore. And if we were to kill it, we're killing our beneficial insect. So we want to leave that one alone.
That's right. Yes, that's a good indication that the natural enemies are present and they're doing their role there on keeping the tomatoes healthy. So we might just be careful selecting a good insecticide for controlling.
That was the question I was going to ask. So if you find the caterpillars, we would recommend doing some hand removal, especially if you got one or two. But if you want to do a prevention method, what are some of the latest insecticides that we could put out there to prevent this problem as well as control caterpillars?
In the last season, we have been growing some organic tomatoes here in Auburn University campus. And the recommendation was to rotate between BT insecticides and Spinosad. So they kept this by using a rotation of Dipel and Entrust, and they seem to be really, really good compared to the tomatoes that we had under no control at all. So that's a good plan. It's still working really fine against the caterpillars.
And that's an organic control. So those are natural products that we can use to control.
So Paulo, those organic insecticides work good when the caterpillars are young, but what if you go out and you see some large caterpillars on your plant?
Yes, that's correct. It's those organic insecticides, they act good as the larvae are from 1 to 3 larval stage. But you absolutely have to think about some selective insecticides you could use, like growth regulators. And you can also include some other options like carbaryl if you absolutely need to get to the point. But the bottom line is always use in a rotation so we don't make the insect develop a resistance to a certain insecticide class.
Right. Don't use the same insecticide from the same chemical class repeatedly.
That is correct. Yes.
As we talk about ugly tomatoes and the insect problems that result in ugly tomatoes near harvest, one of the biggest and most important issues that I have seen in my own personal home garden, as a county agent, I'm struggling to grow tomatoes. They're rotting at the very end toward harvest. It's very disappointed to put all this work and time and effort and see that the plants have these halo defects and begin to rot on the vine. The last few years, the culprit has been identified as plant bugs or stink bugs. So let's talk now about these sucking type insects, Chip, that cause this damage, but you don't see it toward harvest. And then fortunately, we have an ugly tomato on the vine.
Paulo, how early do these like leaf-footed plant bugs, how early in that tomato's cycle does it start feeding on the fruit?
So the plant bugs, they usually start feeding on the tomatoes when the fruit is already forming. So once the flowers are dropping and the fruits start developing, you might have a problem with the plant bugs. They would directly feed on the commercial produce. So that's the problematic with them. And they have to feed by injecting saliva. So they pierce the fruit and they inject saliva that will dissolve the liquids, and they will drink that liquid. That will be the nutrients they need. However, they left that toxic saliva on that area, and when the fruit starts to grow, it will turn on that mushy part. It will turn on that ugly tomato we see at the end.
Very disappointing, Chip. Very disappointing at the end that what have I done wrong? Why is this occurring? You don't always see the stippling or the damage, but as those tomatoes begin to ripen, you begin to see little halos, and I call it dimples. Then the tomato just begins to rot internally and externally.
You grew that tomato so well, Shane, that the insects came and had a party, and you provide the food.
It's interesting to hear that they do this early in the season versus latter part of the season, because when you think that damage was just something that happened the last few days, but the tomato grew and developed with this damage internally the entire time for several weeks.
They come back and feed on it, correct, for weeks, right?
Yes. So it is usually we are battling other types of pests when the fruits are on formation. We have the flowering stages that usually is very attractive to thrips. And late on the season, we have western flower thrips, which is another complication. But over that year period, we are controlling thrips, so we might not have that many problems with plant bugs. But at the end, when we think, okay, now I have a good fruit formation, now I'm going to be fine, then they will find that window to attack, and the tomatoes are maturing, so they will start feeding on it with more voraciously. And the interesting thing about some stink bugs and leaf-footed bugs is that they produce some aggregation pheromones. So once a few plant bugs find the tomatoes, they will release the pheromones and signaling to their peers that, well, I found some cool food here, so let's get around and share this banquet. That's the problem with them. That's why we have so much of this aggregation later.
We do that, Paulo, and we find a good restaurant. We tell all our friends about it, and then we'll complain the line's too long. So if we'd keep that to ourselves.
I don't want these insects in my garden. What can I do as a gardener or a farmer to try to prevent this issue? Because as I told Chip, even off the air, I never see these plant bugs physically on the fruit. Even when I'm picking a green tomato to make fried green tomatoes, I never see them when I'm picking the ripe tomatoes. I just see the damage and the ugly tomatoes as the result.
Yes. It is very interesting, this behavior that they have on feeding and leaving and trying to find new plant sources for feeding. But usually when we want to prevent them, we have cultural practices that we can use. Obviously, keeping the area clean is very important it's a rule of thumb for any type of pest, actually. So that's very, very important. You might use some trap crops. I heard that sorghum is a very good source of trap crops for leaf-footed bugs. So if you have that on the side, that will take your plant bugs away from the tomatoes, that can be a good preventative management that you can do in your area. However, using trap crops can be a little bit complicated, because if you don't have a history of that said pest in that area, if you plant a trap crop, you're attracting insects from outside to your area. So you always have to think, do I have this problem here? It is recurrent. So then you can use some trap crops for that purpose.
Stink bugs are real bad in orchards as well. And I always say we used to use some sunflowers and the sorghum it's beside the tomato field, but it's between the tomatoes and the orchard, or the tomatoes in the woods. But if you're in a big open area, maybe it's different, and we have put them all around. But I have witnessed the sorghum just being wrapped up, Paulo, with leaf-footed plant bugs. And you have to hunt to find a leaf-footed bug on the tomatoes that are just a few feet away. The trap crops really work. Now, they have to be planted before the tomatoes, and they take up, I'll say, 10% of your garden. They take up space in the garden that you're not going to harvest. You're not going to eat anything off of that. but that really cuts down on the damage that we see and pesticide use.
That's right. Another interesting trap crop that you can use as a secondary cash crop or a consumption crop is okra. Stink bugs and leaf-footed bugs absolutely love okra, and they would prefer going to the okra instead of tomato anytime. And you can even
harvest
right. some okra, yeah, on the side. So that would be a win-win situation.
These piercing-sucking type insects, we want to try to prevent the problem, prevent the damage of creating these ugly tomatoes. So there are some insecticides out there especially for these particular insects. That would include white flies, that would include thrips, as well as these plant bugs that we're talking about. So, Chip, what are some latest recommendations that we would have for spraying the garden or the farm to prevent these problems?
Well, it depends on which one of those pests we're spraying for. We have a spray guide online that we can look up. I'm growing tomatoes, and it'll list pesticides that we can use for that particular crop, and it'll also talk about when you read the label of whatever product we're using, pre-harvest interval is something we need to talk about before you start spraying anything. Read the pre-harvest interval. The pre-harvest interval is the time that we wait between application and harvest. It's not between application and eating. You may keep it in the fridge or the freezer for a while and then eat. No, it's between application and harvest. If we have to wait one day, then we wait a full 24 hours. And Paulo, you tell us a few insecticides, if there's anything else you want to add to trap crops are good, but what else can we do?
Yes. So that's one interesting thing about piercing, sucking insects is that we have two main groups, the large ones and the small ones. And the small ones, they are usually very problematic as they are vectors of diseases, which I'm pretty sure my colleague, Dr. Edward Sikora, will talk about later. So the big pests, what we're talking about, that usually makes the ugly tomatoes, or like plant bugs, pyrethrins or pyrethroids are usually a good recommendation. They are usually great on those large sucking insects. However, it is the opposite when we're talking about the smaller ones. So when we're talking about white flies, thrips, or even spider mites, pyrethroids are definitely not a good strategy. They could flare up those populations. So taking in mind, what is the problem that we have? Do we have aphids, whitefly strips on that area that I should avoid using a pyrethroid? Or if I have plant bugs on that part, especially at the end of the harvest, where whiteflies or thrips will not be a problem anymore, then you have that decision on using pyrethroids. Otherwise, you have to find another strategy if you have problems with the micropests.
I would say step one is identifying the pest, and then I would recommend calling your local extension office and telling them, when someone says, I've got stink bugs on my tomatoes, I can help you. When you just say, I've got bugs in my garden, I need more information.
That is correct. Yes, that's the first step on any IPM. They don't usually realize they are already conducting IPM on their area. So any decision making that takes into consideration that they're identifying the pest, they're taking accountability of the natural enemies in the area, like you mentioned, the egg sacs on the hornworms, and then they use cultural control strategies, crop traits, biological control, and use some directed insecticide. That's IPM. That's the framework of IPM. So that's very important to identify the pest and know what's the next step before decision making.
Being out in that garden and scouting is we need to see what's there, and then we can come up with a strategy to know what to do.
I know what to do now, and I've got to go spray my garden. I've got a good work to do. So as we end this podcast here and wrap up, guys, I've got some work to do to prevent these ugly tomatoes developing this summer. Chip and Paulo, thank you again for being here on Southern Ground and part of this podcast. We've addressed the insect problems that are commonly in the vegetable garden, specifically on tomatoes. We hope you'll continue to tune in as we'll continue this discussion on trying to prevent ugly tomatoes in the garden and on the farm. So we hope you'll continue to listen. For more information on controlling insects or other things that in your home garden or on your farm, be sure to reach out to the Alabama Cooperative Extension System or any land-grant university in your state. But with us, it's the www.aces.edu, Alabama Cooperative Extension System through Auburn University and Alabama A&M. And you can go there to find more information or call your local county extension office. Chip, Paula, thank you so much for being with us on this another episode of Southern Ground.
Dr. Crimenez, thank you so much for coming today and joining us.
Thank you, Chip and Shane, and I appreciate the opportunity of talking about the ugly tomatoes.
Thank you, and stay tuned as we'll continue another discussion on Southern Ground.
Southern Ground has been a production of Alabama Extension at Auburn University.